Morning, folks. Welcome to our third quarter investor update. We are a small group today, small but mighty. Want to introduce our dignitaries that are here this morning with us. And, of course, naturally, I'm going to get them in the middle of eating something or drinking something or something, probably. Senator Hart is with us this morning. Thank you for attending. Mayor Vulich, Councilmember McGraw, Gene, Councilmember Gene Field from Fulton, and County Board Chair Dan Serb. So thank you all for joining us this morning. As we always do, we start. Oh, by the way, I want to welcome new investors that are not here today because I talked with Brian yesterday and he was at the Yankees game and I said, I thought you were going back to Oregon. So, but Clinton Catalyst is our newest investor. Like we always do, we start off talking about our mission. Our job is to enhance the business climate and support primary employment decisions that improve our economic health, prosperity, and quality of life. So some of the things that are going on recently in marketing activities, one of the really interesting things that happened just recently within the last few weeks, we had a site selector familiarization visit. That's what a FAM visit is for those of you who don't know that term. And Jim Beatty is a site selector who specializes in back office firms and works with a number of Fortune 500 firms that use either third-party providers, services providers, or their back-office processing or call centers. And so he was here to see our tech park and to see our available building at the tech park and actually called us just within the last week with a lead. And one of our local leaders is already in touch with him about that lead. And we are we're joining the Quad City First to do a contract with Jim to represent us for a year to market the tech park, to market our facilities for back office to those Fortune 500 back office providers. We, as many of you have heard us say, we've finished three of our four target sector business case studies. We have a grant in to CCDA to help us fund the remaining one for value-added ag business case study. Just a little taste this morning of these business case studies. I'll give you an idea of some of the things that came out of the studies. This is chemicals processing. And these stacked charts, the total height of those stacked bars or columns is the total cost in competing locations. And I realize those are small labels underneath there. But you can see here, this is chemicals processing. The least costly location, according to the comparative cost summary, is Clinton. And the far left bar, $19.66 million, is Clinton. Our next closest competition is Peoria, Illinois, at $19.38 million. But if you think about the business climate in Illinois, there are other reasons to not be in Illinois. Interesting thing, though, is that for a facility here versus other competing locations, those first-year savings range from about $170,000 to over $4 million. You might say, well, why is that range there? It really depends on who we're comparing ourselves against. So, for instance, if we're comparing ourselves to Joliet, which is the center bar, that's $23.65 million as opposed to $19.66 million. If you look at metal fabrication, again, we're the lowest ranked cost, and we are, again, on the far left. That is 19. I'm sorry, I didn't flip my page. Well, it was odd that that was the same number. That is $5.01 million compared to, and these are much narrower margins. Lima, Ohio, for instance, is our next closest competition at $5.22 million. So what we did is we created a project in each of these two sectors and compared the cost parameters of that project in each of these competing locations. And you can see that the cities are different between the studies, and that has to do with industry concentrations because we wanted to compare ourselves to places that had concentrations of those industries as well. And so places that have a chemicals processing industry concentration, not necessarily the same place that has a concentration of metal fabrication. So, and again, local one-year cost savings might range from $200,000 to $700,000. Finally, the latest project that was done was administrative back office. Where these previous two studies, we were not the lowest in any particular category, but we were the overall lowest cost location, here we were lowest in a number of categories. And for administrative back office, the number one most important expense for administrative back office is personnel. It's labor. And so that's what that big blue section is of those bars. Here, you've got Clinton at lowest cost at $4.91 million. Our next closest competition is Jefferson City, Missouri. It's the fourth from the right, and that's $4.99 million. So it is close to us, but there's a wide gap between us, for instance, and DeKalb, or between us and Winona, Minnesota, as an example. Now, you might say, well, how come we're not talking about other communities? The problem with other communities, you can't compare multiple communities in one location to a single community in another location, because what you're comparing is taxation rates in a specific point on the map, and you're comparing, for instance, we couldn't take Fulton and Clinton because now you're comparing business taxes at the state level, right? So we couldn't blend those two things together. So what we wanted to do was make the strongest case and interest the client in the region. And then once they're interested in the region, we can sell all the communities in the region. So with that, let me end here, and I'll take questions after we're done with the entire presentation. I'm going to turn it over to Giles to talk about trends with projects.
Good morning, everybody. How is everybody doing? Okay, so we're going to quick run through, as we do every time, some project trends. So year over year, year to date, we are already ahead of where we were in terms of project activity over last year. And we have 24 new attraction projects that have come in the door since the beginning of the year. So we've been very active on new projects in our office, and it's always a good thing. So next is project statistics. So of those 41 projects, here's the breakdown by sector. So predominantly our sectors are manufacturing and logistics. Food processing and biotech also follow up those. We kind of clumped them together to get some general categories, but overall we are seeing the most activity in the manufacturing sector. And then by source, Quad Cities First, our partner to the south, has been very active in helping us to get activities out of their office, as well as our state partners in Illinois and Iowa economic development agencies, and then down from there, some direct calls, some references from local companies and such. And then finally, we're going to run through the newest projects. Since our last meeting, we've had three new projects that have come into our office. Project Breeze called us directly. They're a methanol plant looking to tap into the natural resources that we have in the area. They were a referral by the state of Iowa, and they're looking for a 15 to 50-acre site, depending on what they can find in the region, with 30 to 50 employees. So they were originally interested in the rail park, and after some discussions with them, they wanted to know what else was available in the region, because there's a lot of good things that they can tap into here that they would like to see this area. And so we also were able to submit the Fulton Industrial Site for consideration as well. So we are having ongoing conversations. I most recently gathered utility information for them for a site in the area, so they're very interested and still active. So, Mr. Kearney.
What is a hub zone?
Yeah, Project Sapo is a hub zone. It's a historically underutilized business zone. It's a classification on the federal level. If you go to the internet and Google that, they will show you a map of where those zones are. In our region, the only zone is downtown Clinton, and so we don't have 12 acres available in a hub zone. So even though we didn't perfectly match their requirements, we did submit quite a few sites in the region for their consideration. So we submitted the Fulton site, a couple sites in Comanche, as well as the rail park. So
what makes a hub zone attractive to a company?
I think there are some additional incentives. If you are able to build in a hub zone, I think there's incentives that you can tap into as a business owner. So that was a new term to me, too. I had no clue about that. So And then finally, Project Cube. This was a direct call as well. A guy works for a call center placing, a site selector for a call centers, looking for 150-seat spot in town. So he actually visited town to visit the Fry Building in the Tech Park. That was a few weeks ago, I believe, and he is also an active project as well. So at this point, I'll turn over to Andy to talk about some existing industry stuff.
We're all pumped this morning, huh?
Yeah. I don't stand still, so Dave, I'm sorry, but if I have anything brilliant to say, I'll come by the mic.
Existing industry outreach. Headquarters visit we had 2016, Colony Brands, Rail 1. You'll see our value visits. That's where, for those of you that are not familiar with the value program, that is our business retention and expansion program. We actually go into businesses within our region, and we ask them questions on a 7-page survey, and they do it willingly, so we can actually keep our finger on the pulse of how they're doing as a business, because we want them to expand and grow within our region. ADM Corn, AgriKing, Air Control, you see the list of businesses that I've been able to get into this year and conduct that survey. Now, there's been quite a time where I've gone in and just shaken hands and introduced myself, so they have that conduit to the CRDC, and they know there's a human heartbeat out there to answer their calls if they call the office. But these are the individuals that I actually met with, at least the companies that I met with, to do these synchronous visits. I've learned a lot from these visits, and I will say confidently that we are doing well with our existing businesses. Nobody has ever complained and told me that they would not consider this region for an opportunity for expansion. That's good. That's really good. Because the International Economic Development Council reports that 80% of our economic growth, that's 80 of our economic growth, is going to come from our existing businesses. So take into consideration, we do look towards business recruitment and attraction, and that gets the glitz and glamour, but don't you lose focus of the fact that we have existing businesses that are here that employ hundreds and thousands of people that contribute to our economic growth every single day. Groundbreaking for Lyondell Bissell's new admin center, that is north of $50 million investment in our region, 50 million dollars. From what I've been told, Lyondell Bissell has facilities all over the world, and they don't make these investments without doing their due diligence, and they have agreed to put $50 million into the admin facility here within the Clinton region. That's huge. Economic impact study for ADM Corn, their plant manager, Dean Brainerd, called me and said, Andy, how do we figure out what our economic impact is within the Clinton region? There's a huge algorithm for a program they use down in the Quad Cities first, where they can plug in all the information, new equipment investment, new investment in personnel, new investment in training, and it pops out with an economic impact number, both direct and indirect. That means jobs that happen by ADM hiring, and also jobs that happen through subcontractors, trailing spouses, children, involvement in the school district, going out and eating at Rastrelli's restaurant, right? That number is impressive, okay? I'm not at liberty to give you the exact number at this time until it runs through their legal department, but I will say it's impressive. The Value Spotlight Award presented to Air Control, we're doing a quarterly award program where we're going out and we're reaching a big contact with our local businesses and thanking them for continuing to do business within our region. Our most recent award winner was for the Community Impact Award, and that did go to Air Control. We're going to schedule a nice presentation. We got the full page ad that was in the paper. Care OS did some awesome in-kind contribution and ran some ads on their radio station for about a week. We're going to make the official presentation probably within the next week or two, so be looking for that as well. The second corporate cup event, West Rock, if you guys aren't familiar with West Rock, Rock 10, now West Rock took home the trophy again for the second year in a row. They were so excited about winning the golf tournament that they actually left before I could grab the trophy back to get it engraved, so that just gives me a reason to go back in their office now and steal it from them. Draft industry index completed. We're working on an industry index that we can hand to both our existing industries as well as prospective people coming into the region that lists out what industries we have available here and the contact information, because we want our local businesses to work with other local businesses, right? That makes sense. The other day my phone rang, I picked it up, guy was on the end of the line saying, Andy, I need your help. I need this type of stuff and I need it now. And luckily we had a business in the area that provided that type of stuff, and we were able to make a connection, and now they're doing business together. That didn't happen before. His wholesaler was out of North Carolina. So now they're actually doing business here within the region. It's just about making these relationships and these connections. Services index, same thing. We're going to be, just like our industry index, instead it's focused on services that are available. Catering, accounting, legal guidance, things like that. And our draft workforce development program guide, we're trying to put something together. If you're familiar with workforce development, every college, every region, every community college, every school district has a workforce development type of program. We're trying to consolidate all into one page so that people can look at it and be able to use it rather than having that stack of probably 2-inch binder of all the workforce development programs that are within the region. I will say selfishly, that's more for my benefit because I can't remember all this stuff, right? So we're creating this little cheat sheet guide for myself and others. Clinton County, is this me or is this you?
That's me.
All right.
It's okay.
Does anybody have any questions for me real quick before I leave the stage? Okay, just one question. Anybody have one question they can so I feel worth my weight in gold this morning? Yes, sir.
How are you so energetic this early in the morning?
It's, you know, I got to really push myself. It's not always this way. Ask my wife, but... these are important things that we talk about every single day, right? Economic development in our region is going to benefit not only us that are sitting around these tables, but also our children and our grandchildren. We need to make sure they have a secure future. So this meeting is insanely important. We have a small group today, but what I'm asking you to do before I leave the stage is if you meet people who are involved or even concerned about the economic growth of the region, get them involved in the Clinton Regional Development Corporation. Make sure they put their cheeks in these seats when we use these investor updates because it's important information we're sharing. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Probably could have just talked about this because it's real short. One of the things that we focused on with Vision 2020 was doing a better job of telling people what we were up to. That's why you're here today. That's why we want more people here next time. So we do these quarterly investor updates. The next one is going to be our annual meeting. So we'll do 3 quarterly investment updates each year, and then we'll do the annual meeting. That'll be our 4th quarterly update. But we also go out twice a year to Clinton County, the City of Comanche, City of Clinton, Clinton County Farm Bureau, to Fulton. Fulton's not on here because we reported that we talked to Fulton last time we were here. So probably due for another visit to Fulton here in the near future. And recently we've talked to TV and radio about things that are going on in the area. One of the things that's really exciting is we had the opportunity, particularly to get the message out outside the community, to talk. WQAD did a story on the development on the West End. And what I liked about talking with them about that was instead of coming here and doing a hit piece on what's going wrong in Clinton, what's negative in Clinton, it was a very positive news story. And that's what we need outside the community. We need it to be positive inside the community as well, but we need people outside the community to be thinking positively about Clinton, too. And so that was exciting. Love talking with our local stations as well. Dave, anytime you got open mic, I'll come in and yak about whatever you want to talk about. Just let us know. You can tell Andy doesn't have any trouble. Andy doesn't have any trouble yakking either. So the two of us, you know, we'll fill your radio station for the day if you want. So... And then recently, literally just last week, Andy did, and really I wanted you to talk about this, so I'm going to switch the order of these. Last week we got a notice that we have now been accredited by the International Economic Development Council. We are the only accredited economic development organization in the state of Iowa at this point. Now, I would like Andy to talk a little bit about Home Base Iowa because really we wouldn't be, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, we wouldn't be a Home Base Iowa community in Clinton County were it not for the hard work of Andy. So will you come back up and chat
about
that?
Yeah, I don't need the mic because I don't even know it's on.
Yeah, really. I'm not sure either.
Home Base Iowa is an initiative the governor pushed through the legislature in 2014 to offer. So... Government pension, military retired pensions are not taxed in the state of Iowa. That's huge, right? There's not a lot of states, and I don't know that many, so don't quote me on this, put your pen down, that are actually taking advantage of this and not taxing, choosing not to tax military pensions. But being that we're Midwesterners, Iowans, Illinois needs to jump on this bandwagon, Gene, because recruitment of veterans is huge right now. There's 550 veterans transitioning out of the military every single day. So we're talking about these individuals that come out with these unique skill sets, these abilities, discipline, work ethic. Every person that I meet with, every employer says, what do you look for in the perfect employee? I just want somebody to show up.
It's not necessarily a certain skill or a trade. They want somebody that's willing to be taught, willing to continue to learn, and willing to show up on time. And when we think about that type of stuff, veterans are those types of people. When I was in the military for 11 years, the worst of the worst at least showed up on time. And a lot of our employers are just begging for that quality. So what they did is Home Base Iowa reached out to different communities and said, hey, we can do this on our own, but we want individual communities to help by providing their own incentives, by providing their own, attractive points to bring veterans to the community. And the county really stepped up and offered some really rock-solid incentives. $1,500 closing assistance on the purchase of your first home. Per diem for two nights stay up to $275 per night for a veteran that's coming into Clinton County and staying the night to find a job. And then the other one is the waiving of business fees if you're going to start a business in Clinton County. So they work with all of the municipalities and the communities within Clinton. We also provide our own group of incentives. That combined with our willingness of our businesses to say, yes, we will make a pledge to hire veterans and work with the Iowa Economic Development Authority and Iowa Workforce Development to seek out these veterans when they come to our community and give them a job opportunity. We got 22 businesses that raised their hand and that made that pledge. And we were able to apply through the Iowa Economic Development Authority and receive our home-based Iowa designation. So now we have these massive signs as you drive into Clinton County at 8 strategic points that say we are a home-based Iowa community. But like I said on Saturday, that's just the starting point. Now we're going to start creating some additional outbound marketing material in order to attract those veterans by letting them know what we have chosen to do, not so much on their behalf, but our willingness to say thank you for their service and their willingness to take the ultimate sacrifice if necessary to defend this country. That's the least we can do. $1,500 in closing assistance, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but come on. These are people that were willing to take a bullet for our country and our freedoms. We wouldn't be having this event today if it wasn't for people like that. So, I'm passionate about this. I'm insanely excited. If you have any questions about Home Base Iowa or how you can take advantage of it, do not hesitate to reach out and call on me. I'd love to talk to you more about it. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about Home Base Iowa? And if Illinois develops a program of their own like this, I will equally destroy it and push it forward and move it all together and combine it into one. What?
I neglected to say that it was really an effort of the Clinton County Economic Development Coordinating Council, which Senator Hart leads, that got us started on the process of pursuing Home Base Iowa.
Absolutely, yes. So,
and he was our groundworker. And he made it happen.
And he did, and I would say yes, thank you, and you were absolutely correct. I don't think we could have got it done nearly as well or as quickly if Andy had not stepped up to the plate there. And I also want to thank the supervisors also for stepping up there as well. And I would just add that we are going to continue this as a ongoing project for the Coordinating Council. We'll be checking in all the time and trying to move it forward, and especially reaching out to the smaller towns as to what they can do also, because I think this is going to be a great resource for them to attract people to those small communities. And so, kudos, Andy. Doing a great job. We're happy. We're really happy about it.
So it occurred to me that you might not know what this accreditation thing is all about. So I pulled up the media release here on my phone, which, you know, the print is about 6 point here for me to read it. So it's a comprehensive peer review process that measures economic development organizations against commonly held standards in the profession. The program is two phases, a documentation review and then an on-site review as well. And the purpose is to evaluate the structure, organization, funding programs, and staff of the applicant to determine whether they, this is essentially, it's a peer review process to determine where you are in comparison to other economic development organizations around the country. We are the 53rd accredited organization in the United States. It is not an easy process to go through. You know, there's a chamber accreditation process which you may be familiar with. 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star. I think it goes up to 5, doesn't it, Maureen? And so, you know, depending on where you are, your level of sophistication as a chamber, you get whatever star is associated with that level. 5-star, I think, is the highest accreditation, and it's widely used in the chamber industry. This is a little bit different in that this is this is me bragging a little bit. This is the best of the best. These 53 organizations, we were announced along with, for instance, Minneapolis-St. Paul's Economic Development Organization. And so that's the kind of company that we're keeping as an accredited economic development organization. And what it does, you know, being an accredited organization assures you that your money is being used wisely, that you've got professional staff, that you've got effective programs as evaluated by our competitors from around the country, our peers. At the same time, what it tells our clients and our prospects, site selectors and so on, is that when they contact us, they're going to get a professional response. They're going to get a timely response. It's going to be accurate. And so accreditation is important to us. Finally, I would say, too, for governments, we're about 80% private funded, but for the balance of that money, which comes from governments like the City of Fulton, Clinton County, and Comanche, and the City of Clinton and others, what it does is it assures them that their money is being invested wisely. And from a political perspective, you certainly want to know that the group that you're working with as your partner is an effective organization. So that's why that's, I think, so critically important. So with that, we've taken you. We're trying to be respectful of your time. It's I think about 8:15 or so. We've got about a little bit of time left this morning for questions and hopefully answers from Janelle or from Andy or from me. What things did we not talk about this morning that you would like to know about, or what things would you like to know more about this morning?
With the accreditation, does that kind of spread your pull with businesses from maybe not necessarily in the Midwest, but a little further out?
I would say that it increases the confidence level of anybody who's dealing with us. And so in that sense, it's not like it's just some random Iowa community that they're dealing with who maybe has a cornfield somewhere that, you know, that a business could go, but it actually says that we're serious about what we're doing. And so that credibility, I suppose, yeah, that increases the attraction. Yeah, Mike.
I'll just make a comment. You know, one of the things that is sometimes a little discouraging in this town is there are a lot of people who delight in running it down. In fact, some people almost compete with each other. And I just had, for this week, a couple of people visiting from Germany. And the purpose of their trip, and I only met them when they got here. They knew about me from over there, but I had never met them. And their purpose was to see a little bit of flyover country. They're going to spend 3 weeks in the U.S. They flew to Chicago. They're going to go to Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone and so forth. And before they went to their hotel last night, they said, "What a beautiful place this is." And sincerely, I said, "No, you're just telling me that." "No." And I've had that experience with so many people from out of town. The Chamber a few weeks ago referred some people from Chicago who wanted to see the Mellon Building. And so when they got here, they stayed at the Fisher House, and then I took them over to see the Curtis Mansion and, of course, Eagle Point and the like. And they had the same reaction. What a beautiful place. Delightful. And I, within the last couple of years, I think I've had 10 or 12 such experiences. And I think we need to develop our confidence just as citizens that this community does have something to offer.
I appreciate that remark, Mike. You prompted in my mind, I have to share a story from this weekend. So we had a guest at our house this weekend from Wisconsin, a longtime family friend, and so I had the opportunity this weekend to be kind of a tourist in my own backyard. And I had never gone to the lock and dam and seen a toe split to go through the lock, right? And that was really interesting to see. And I was in the windmill, unfortunately, right after the platen had its problem. Unfortunately, right after the weld broke. We were walking through Heritage Canyon as well and touring through that. Towards the end of our time driving around, we went to Eagle Point Park and saw the new work on the lodge, which is just so impressive that the Rotary Club did that. But we went to the winery, and it's always fun to go up to the winery and do a wine tasting. And so we're at the bar marking the wines we're interested in, and there was a foreign language being spoken down the counter. And I said to my friend, I said, well, that's not German. Might be Polish. Well, I apparently said it a little too loud. They overheard me. And they said, it's not Polish. And I said, okay, what is it? And they said, Lithuanian. There were two people at the counter who were traveling through, came specifically to Clinton because of what they were, and Fulton, because of what they had read about the area online, and they wanted to see the area. And there they were at the counter at the winery tasting wine, speaking Lithuanian. Actually, I take that back, there were three of them. And, you know, amazing, really, really impressive, you know. And they had driven over from Chicago. And, so to your point, you never know who's going to be the person at the next table in the restaurant or who's going to be the person at the next down the counter at the wine tasting or whatever. So it's always good to be thinking about those positive things. And I agree with you. I think we need to think more positively about ourselves because we have a lot to show off. I mean, we spent the whole day just looking at positive aspects of the community. And, boy, Eagle Point Park Mayor, the community is doing a great job maintaining Eagle Point Park. I love Serpentine Road. I mean, it's what a great improvement that was, you know. So that's cool. Our friend was very impressed with both the lodge and the park itself. Maureen?
To Mike's point, we have re-engaged our community visioning and imaging committee. We'll be meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon to embark on our Celebrate Clinton project and gather all of the ideas. We have a year-long marketing campaign that we're planning and budgeting for. So if anybody here has any interest in joining us at 2 o'clock for this brainstorming meeting, you're more than welcome to attend.
Speaking of Celebrate Clinton, so who here was at the golf outing, the Chambers golf outing this year? Great. So when you drove around from hole to hole, you saw signs that we've called Burma Shave signs. They don't quite look like Burma Shave signs, and they don't rhyme. I can tell who's old enough in the audience when I get a laugh. I'm there too. But anyway, so Visual Imaging put those together for us, those of you that saw them, and just did a spectacular job, donated them to us, and they used the Celebrate Clinton logo at the top of the signs and actually did a die cutout of the logo itself. Beautiful signs. And they were the plastic corrugated, like, right? So they were like campaign signs. We get done with the event, and so the purpose of it was positive things that have happened in the community. And so they're timely, right? But they're not necessarily all going to be useful next year. And so we've used them this one time for this one event, and now you're going to stick them back in the back room and in the storeroom, and what are they going to do for us back there, right? And so Andy had this brilliant idea of let's get these signs out into the community. So as you drive around, you're going to see signs. They're about the size of real estate signs. And you're going to see signs around the community with positive things that have happened. Andy, mention just a couple of the things that are on the signs, if you would.
Yeah, we highlighted things like David Johnson having a breakout rookie season in the NFL, Taylor Weavers being crowned Miss Iowa and competing for Miss America, the Landings development for the condos out there behind the Wild Rose. I mean, a lot of great things that are happening in the community, and we figure if we plaster them on a sign, stuff them strategically, then more people would become aware of them, because, you know, it's kind of like putting a straight head mark on the bridge of your nose and walking around. Everybody else can see it but you, and I think we often kind of discredit or choose to ignore some of the amazing things that are happening in our community because they're not either brand spanking new or don't get the glitz and glamour that people feel like they deserve. So the signs, I think, will make an impact moving forward. Excuse me.
If I could add, one of the signs that I placed, I noticed was laying down when I drove past it the other day, so I just pulled over and put it back in the ground. So if you see them and they're laying down, please take a moment to stop and stick them back in the ground.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Other, yes, Dave.
Referring to one of the other notes you sent out this week, the ADM CARES grant. Talk about what's that?
That's actually their annual investment in Vision 2020. And we go through the ADM CARES Foundation to receive that grant each year. We have to do an application each year. What Dave's referring to is a press release that we issued yesterday, talking about the most recent $30,000 investment that we got from ADM through their ADM Cares Foundation, and that is their support to the Vision 2020 program. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the landings development. I don't know. The original Clinton High School is in the finishing stages of being totally redeveloped for 16 apartments.
Hmm.
And most people that knew the building the way it was a year or so ago will be flabbergasted at what it's becoming.
That's a fun project to drive by.
And there will be an open house next month.
Oh, great. I was wondering when it was going to be. Good, good. Yeah, the Roosevelt building.
The Roosevelt.
Beautiful building. And I understand we're moving forward with the Wilson building as well, I think, I've heard. So that's positive for the community and positive for downtown as well, those new residential units that are going to be there. Other questions? Yeah, Rita, yes, please.
I would just want to make another comment on that same conversation about positive things. And I'm kind of a newbie kind of to Clinton myself. You know, I came here a long time ago as a student teacher, but living on the very far end of Clinton County, I wasn't as familiar with Clinton as I have become. And Mike, your point is well taken. When I'm knocking on doors, there was a contest to see who could say the most negative things. And as time went on, I learned how to talk to those people at the doors to remind them of how beautiful this place is and all the good things that are going. And you can see the change in their attitude as you remind them of that, right? And so that's what I see happening here, is that in just these few years that I've been paying attention, and I've been, you know, truly integral into the city of Clinton, I've seen a big change. And the change, I think, is cooperation. It's working together. You know, the things that you mentioned before about seeing these Lithuanian people, they didn't come because of one entity or another. They came because it's been a group effort. It's been the Regional Development Corporation, the Chamber of Commerce, the tourism people, the mayor, the city itself. I mean, there's just so many people here that are partnering. And that, to keep that going, is only going to be great success for us. There's much to celebrate Clinton about, and it's exciting to see these things move forward.
You know, and as we're celebrating, I think it's important to remember we should be celebrating the Lumber Kings right now. How exciting. Louise had the opportunity earlier this week to be there with her grandkids. That was and last night too? That was the other night was a long game, as I recall.
Last night
was a long game. Wow. Yeah. Isn't it fun, though? Isn't it fun? It's so cool to look in the paper and see us at the top of the standings for a change. That's awesome. Well, before we adjourn today, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that these events each quarter are pulled together by the hard work of Louise and Janelle. And I just want to acknowledge them and thank them for their hard work, because it's a professional presentation every time, and it's because they work so hard at it. So help me join me in thanking them. Any last questions? Any last comments? If not, have a great day. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you at the annual meeting in December.